To go, we should have folks back on the conference bridge. So the session we're going into is the debrief from the breakout sessions. And we had three different groupings. Is there a volunteer from any one of the groups to start?
If there isn't a volunteer, I'll pick someone. Okay, fine. In that case, could the volunteer for the IFRS taxonomy only group start off?
As published.
Yeah.
My real pleasure.
All right. So I think we thought we had an easy task because we were saying, well, there are no extensions for regulators, no extensions for filers. Nevertheless, that's been a very, very interesting discussion that we had in our group. So a couple of remarks and the drivers for the updates and how the updates should be implemented, or how the updates are causing the costs in the system. So I think one of the conclusions we had is that there is a general issue with change management in general. So simply from the project setup, from the IT system setup, from the vendor setup, there is an effort to update taxonomies every year or even during the year, which is causing kind of natural reluctance to switching to new versions. We had a discussion how to overcome it and what could be the measures to do this. And one of the things we discussed was the comparability. So the comparability aspect was one of the dimensions we were having. The other aspect was the regional and the dimension of introducing standards in different jurisdictions with different dates. Nevertheless, one of the measures could be that the ISB is having stronger communication on the applicability or the validity of a given taxonomy, or even actually the accounting standards and the related taxonomy. So I think, Luis, you are running something somewhat similar, but definitely SEC is running that there is a validity period for taxonomy and there is active decommissioning of taxonomies in a sense.
What, I'm sorry?
Decommissioning or just cutting the validity, which is not as strict for the IFRS taxonomies. At the moment, I think we have taxonomies starting from 2005 or so. So some communication in the terms of decommissioning, taking the taxonomies off the website, or even actively communicating the relation between the standards and the given reference dates for reports, and then thus the taxonomy and the given reference dates, would be probably a very strong signal. The question is, of course, if it's not too strong signal. So that was one other topic. We had a bit of discussion what is the effort required for changes, for when there are changes only to the taxonomy, and I think there's some differences if these are additional elements or if these are architecture changes. I think there was a general agreement that architecture changes should be as rare as possible and properly consulted, communicated in advance, and ideally probably done every 5 or every 10 years. We also discussed that it would be probably wrong not to update the IFRS taxonomy with accounting standards change. That seems also wrong. So there's some balance between the technology changes, rather rare, and accounting or content changes, which are just following the changes in the standards. So that's the balance that has to be found. So even if this plain use case that we were discussing, where there are no extensions whatsoever, still the number of dependencies and complexity is quite high, and it's probably leading to the fact that many of the jurisdictions are sticking for longer than everybody would like them to old versions of taxonomy. So there's probably a role for everybody, but there's definitely a cost factor to it. And this has to be mitigated, as I mentioned. So one of the ideas was to through some stronger communication. Christy, Kylie,
Kim was here.
The members.
We keep hearing about the cost associated with it included. Is it your, in this update, so from service provider, mm-hmm. really a big cost to do that update every year?
Not, I think for the regulator, yes. Not for the preparer nor the company that's filing. I don't think that huge.
Not at this point. I mean, maybe in the first year or so, but it's
right. It depends on how many changes in the taxonomy.
We discussed it a bit from a technology perspective. So regardless if you have a software from a provider or if you're building your own software, if you are a CIO, you are probably not excited in changes in regulation. So that's my perception. You are excited about changes in technology, about new technology, but you don't want to hear about IFRS 16, 17, 18, because that's not really relevant for your job. And that's probably where there is a mismatch. So what I see is that there is a thing from a CIO perspective. There is a draw. I mean, they tend to treat such taxonomy implementation projects, regardless probably if it's regulator, filer, or a user. There is a project, and the project is going away. The problem is there is a project, and then you have taxonomy changes every year, or even interim releases during the year. So it's a kind of new normal, and this new normal way of changes is probably generating costs.
We definitely had issues getting SEC acceptance of the taxonomy timely. But they changed their process last year, and working with the IT folks, got it to where they now accept this in March this year, right? Which is an entirely useful date. I, of course, would still like it earlier, but they changed their process. But it's some of what you're just talking about, the tech guys in the Edgar system, they have their own thing. I wish Kim was here.
She went shopping.
What?
She should be back. We can return to that topic.
Yeah.
The SEC is one example, but they just have 2 years to pick from. They drop off. There's only two available, where other regulators have, used 2010 taxonomy for many years.
Just remember that also our scenario was extremely idealistic, so no preparers extension, no regulators extension. Even if this scenario you have this cost, if you think about the realistic scenarios where you have country-specific, regulator-specific, and preparers extension, the cost is multiplying because you have to pull this change across all the layers.
So what I'm very naive here, because in that simple example of just taxonomy as published, what cost would the regulator incur, and what makes it this cost to be so high kind of thing? I struggle to understand that, because I've seen a set of files which you replace by another set of files.
Ideal filing system, you treat taxonomy as a parameter. So you give the taxonomy to the system, and the system reacts. It doesn't matter if it's the system of the filer, of the user, or of the regulator. That's the ideal world. I have not seen such a system worldwide that would react on any taxonomy. So I think when we are talking about our ideal scenario, we are very close to where EBA, IOPA, and all the closed reports does. Even for them, driving for a bank, for a central bank, driving an EBA taxonomy up, it's a huge pain. Because the systems are not reacting to the parameter. You have better system, worse systems problem. There are systems which are more generic, so you can push the taxonomy, and then if the taxonomy has the same architecture, you can push another one. Still, if you're a large central bank, right, or large FSA, you will have your test, production, and prod environment. You have another teams or external providers that are running this environment. So it's probably itself just to run the new taxonomy version through the environments. It's probably 3 or 4 weeks work.
I don't think I've ever seen that process.
Okay, because I can see timing and implementation, but is it a timing and implementation delay or duration? I can see that. Effective cost as such, I don't know.
Even the word cost related, every Welsh regulator is usually operating large IT, which means that it's complicated. But you're starting from different environments.
And there's accuracy. Michal said too, if you have a formula link base attached, change a taxonomy, you have to go into the formula link base almost manually and change that.
Speaking
as
of
well.
Which, I actually feel this would be a very good moment to get the feedback from the regulator.
Okay.
Taking control back.
Can I just offer one comment, which will also tie to this?
Okay.
Move to
the regulator. Feedback
from
the regulator
you have to present the regulator's group.
I think Lou will be from our. No, but just quickly on this one. I think that the increasing trend right now is to distinguish between the data modeling piece of the taxonomies and the syntactical whatever the output is, using XBRL or XML or any other formats. We see that in the IFRS Foundation with the IFRS taxonomy, the abstract model as we call it. Within the banking and insurance, as Maciej mentioned, there are those models which are trying to be operated in such a way that they are providing the input for any system, and the system produces the output taxonomy in a relatively short time. That's the way how the EBA operates the model. The input for that is the business expert templates annotated in a special way, and the output is the XBRL taxonomy with all the documentation, which takes a very, very, you know, sort of like comparing to the data model development piece, it doesn't take any time. This effort is primarily in the decision and the professional judgment about whether the particular concepts are equal. So we are talking about this business analysis. And this is becoming more and more important because we cannot replace it with any IT system. We cannot replace the decisions of the accounting experts whether concepts are equal or whether there is any material difference between the concepts or anything like that. We can standardize the product of their thinking, which will then be channeled into any IT system that translates it into particular syntaxes or formats, but we cannot really automate the thinking process here. We need to rely on the business expertise, and increasingly we see that with the regulators that this particular piece, so the data modeling piece, is becoming the biggest chunk of the project, so to say. The longest and the largest chunk of the products, and it ties both to the extensions, to the taxonomy developments, to anywhere where this business input is required.
Now we can move on to feedback from the group looking at the situation where there's a regulator extension.
So I'll do that.
Apparently one of our staff members...
Apparently I was voted for that. I was actually the only one taking notes. We kind of thought about the issues that the regulators might have with extending the taxonomy and with updating the IFRS taxonomy as extensions, as new standards are published. And obviously the first thing that came to mind was time and cost. And in this regard, we thought that maybe if we were able to release the taxonomy sooner, that could always help, because that kind of lowers the gap between the time that the standards are published and the taxonomy is published. But at the same time, we cannot assume that we can have regulators following our every release, simply because it just takes time. It takes time on our side to consult the taxonomy, but it also takes time on the regulator's side to extend the taxonomy, think what they would have to extend for, and then probably go for some kind of a consultation process on their side. So just even having the goal of them taking each and every interim release is just unrealistic, and we have to be aware of that. What we also could do, although I'm not sure if there is much to gain here, is to release some models earlier, not necessarily the whole taxonomy with the whole set of files, but just the models. In our case, I think the delay between the model and the actual taxonomy is quite low, so we could save a little time. But that's also an idea maybe for more complex standards when the translation of the model into the XBRL. Takes more time, then we could also save some time there. And another idea was, you know, it might be that the regulators just need us to have some anticipated extensions already in the taxonomy. So I know it comes back to the whole common practice discussion, but assuming that the regulator takes the new standard, looks at the new standard, then ask themselves, you know, how do I extend? If we had some of those extensions that the regulator will see the need for, it might lower the effort on the regulator's side and therefore convince the regulator to take the taxonomy update. Although in some cases, simply there is no need for the regulator to take the new additions. So some systems, you don't necessarily have the US system where every number has to be tagged. It might be that you only tag the balance sheet, and if you have a new standard for some nodes that relates mostly to the nodes, and the regulator won't take it anyway, and there is not much we can do in this case. The other thing we talked about was, in general, the update schedule for local standards, the endorsement of IFRS as such, the alignment of due processes, and that's something that the most, you know, controversial thing, and I see that we have one board member here, so I say it out loud. It was mentioned that no early application of new standards, that would significantly help, because in the IFRS world we now have a situation that there are different versions of standards at the same time that can be applied. And that's a struggle for the, you know, for not only in, from the IFRS perspective, but also from the taxonomy perspective, because you practically do not have a one taxonomy that is applicable at one moment in time. And in this case, we, you know, envy the US, where you know, the board votes no for every application, and therefore, so far, at least, with one exception.
Yeah, well, REFRACT is now, they've extended it, and permitting early adoption.
Yeah. So. So you will have to cope with what we, you know, cope on a daily basis.
But it is
a struggle, and it would make certainly for the life for the regulators much easier if they had one version of the standards that they apply. Which led us to another discussion, another part of the discussion, whether it's actually the regulators we should be thinking of and talking to, or is it the accounting standard setters in a given country who are actually responsible for adopting IFRS, endorsing IFRS, and so on? Because it might be that we are not stressing enough the connection here, and you know, the actually what the regulator does or should do maybe is just take the standards as they are endorsed or accepted, adopted. I don't know what the best word is in their country, and therefore also talking to regulators, we should stress the fact that, you know, the standard that they are going to be getting, or the financial statements they are going to be getting, will be prepared according to standards that are endorsed by the local standard setter, and you know, making this more obvious and more public, that might also help in terms of regulators taking an updated taxonomy, because as soon as they realize that the standards have been updated for use in their country for the financial statements, there potentially is a need to update the taxonomy that they are using. So that was it. And the last thing that is kind of related to the whole standard setters, regulators, and our approach is the fact that many people mentioned that we seem to have a lack of connection between IFRSs and IFRS taxonomy still. So we are not visible enough as a group accompanying the standard. So in a sense, maybe more visibility of the IFRS taxonomy during the IFRS conference is kind of trying to sell IFRS and IFRS taxonomy as a package. That might also encourage regulators just to update the taxonomy as the standards are updated, instead of looking at it as two separate processes and thinking, okay, the IFRS is, you know, have been updated, we've applied them, but the taxonomy will only apply it every 5 years or so. So I think that's basically it. Oh, and lastly, in terms of the old taxonomies and the support, the group's view was that we shouldn't be supporting old taxonomies, and we should kind of try to, they said we shouldn't enforce it, but we should actively discourage people to use the old taxonomies. So for example, we could stop supporting them, stop updating them, and stop even holding them on our websites, although it was said that we shouldn't formally prohibit their use. So if a regulator has decided to keep the old taxonomy, you know, download it and keep using it, we should allow for that, because there might be various reasons like time and cost and everything. The regulators are different, so we shouldn't prohibit it. But we should be active in discouraging that. Maybe we should acknowledge the regulators who are actually using the newest version of the taxonomy as a kind of form of praise. I think our jurisdictional profiles will kind of work like that, because we will make public who is using, you know, what system and which taxonomy, and that might play a role, because if in a given region, if you know, three regulators notice that they are behind all the rest, that they might want to apply the newer taxonomy.
Carlo Alciati
has joined the conference.
I think that's it. Anything I've forgotten?
No, I think you captured everything from the group.
Anyone else from the group? Then please feel free to.
Anyone else on from that group, or anybody else want to add any points on regulator side of things? Another regulator extension, yep.
Just one from a regulator standpoint, which is that as a company's house or a business registrar or someone who publishes data in the public domain, the IFRS taxonomy as it stands with an extension for local requirements may be fit for purpose. But as a regulator yourself, you have your own needs of the data, of which may span across the IFRS report itself. And that's where it leads to the extension or the taxonomy extension having a change in architecture. You often see lots of additional booleans and those sorts of things. And that additional maintenance then, because of the change in architecture, has a cost when you're looking at migrating to a later version of the taxonomy, or re-underpinning it with a later version of the IFRS taxonomy.
Anything else,
Lewis? In terms of do the regulators ever work together? Do they communicate about their common issues, or, and I'm thinking specifically about their particular industry specific requirements. If they're able to collaborate on some of that, that could help, you know, deal with that piece of it. Do they?
Looking at any because of jurisdictional professionals.
John's got a lot of space, like, am I out of my mind? But
no, I mean, we haven't got a particular mechanism to help regulators using our taxonomy talk to each other. We're considering it, I mean, as part of a thing that might happen at some of these workshops that we're going to run, is to get people in the region to talk to each other about common problems. And that may well be part of that workshop, so there might be something a bit like that. But we could do something a bit of on a broader scale of saying, if you've got shared industry, we encourage people to report back to us, but I don't think I've heard of anybody doing anything externally along those lines. But we could.
In and around some of the industry forums you might do, like you might get regulators coming together around like an IAIS grouping, an IASCO grouping, you might get them in that setting. You might get regulators coming together, or you definitely will, for supervisory colleges. And that's why I had that look, because I would think if it's a college, you know, you're dealing with one entity, so there's likely to be more commonality, you're not dealing with multiple entities.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's in those scenarios where I think you might see regulators coming together.
But you don't think they'd come together around their infrastructure requirements for supporting IFRS taxonomy?
I don't think so. I mean, Michael might know something as well, but I haven't seen it. I don't think they will, unless there is a push from some higher authority, like an IAIS or somewhere there where they're pushing downwards, or the FSB or something like that.
Just from my experience, they are directly contacting each other to share the experiences about the platforms used, some particular software, mostly for those filing platforms. When it comes to extensions, most of them are following the IFRS extension guidance, so we don't see too many discrepancies between the architectures which are being applied by the different regulators worldwide to extend the IFRS taxonomy. There can be some, but these are not sort of like dramatic differences. Mostly the troubles relate to tying the extensions to the local regulations, because there are certain In some countries, for instance in Asia, we've found some local regulations which were extending the IFRS taxonomy in such a way that it added massive component of detailed notes to the principle-driven, you know, framework that is offered by the ISB. So these were the biggest challenges, and that is something which is typically resolved within the particular jurisdiction rather than sharing these experiences. Besides, I think most of the regulators are also taking a look at the other extensions and the way how other regulators are extending. So in this case, I don't think there are major discrepancies in this taxonomy architectures.
But in terms of content, have you seen, like, you know, regulators in different countries extending for the same group of things, same elements, same, you know, in a sense, if they work together, would you think that they would be able to come up with a, you know, kind of a local, regional, say, extension that could be, you know?
Absolutely. If they work together, if we had such groups or panels where they could exchange these practices in which way to model particular disclosures or detailed particular disclosures, I would say most of them are asking, actually, whether such a group exists. I think we had this initiative in the past under XBO International, but it hasn't been continued for the past few years. So I think there's nothing right now available, I believe, but I'm not aware of.
But Lou, you had mentioned, Bella, you had mentioned common practices and leveraging the regulator stuff. Is that a regulator or the regulators?
I think it's by the different, for instance, capital market regulators, typically SECs and FSAs would be interested to work jointly, whereas, or the business registers, because they are typically extending the IFRS taxonomy in a similar way, even from accounting perspective. So they are interested in extending it in a similar way. Banking regulators and insurance regulators would have slightly different view on that because they are typically adding statistical components like FINREP. We talked about this case before. The previous FINREP taxonomy with the IFRS was matching at the level of 18 elements out of thousands. So there was really no direct relationship on the business layer. There was really it was really difficult to figure out commonalities.
Roxana?
Yeah, maybe just to, I partially agree with what Michael said. Just, well, obviously different categories of regulators fall in different categories with different objectives and needs, so I'm not sure that they, as I already said before, it's probably more difficult to put them together. In terms, if I talk now only about securities regulator, there is this element of linking it to the local legal environment, and it might be that the extensions which are created by regulator in general are linked with that. And as long as there are no, well, the commonalities between the legal environments between different countries are limited, I think it's difficult to push them to move in that area, because in the end, as securities, they have a legal mandate, so you cannot deviate from that. So everybody will take the main components of the IFRS taxonomy, but then if we talk about the extension, they will follow more the legal, their local legal requirement, and I'm afraid they cannot do much more differently.
But is it likely that the local legal requirements will vary significantly, given that the regulations are being pushed downwards? I mean, there is a global push from a supervisory standpoint, even for securities regulators.
Well, there is a push if I talk now about European level, yes, but even in Europe that is not fully harmonized.
Mm.
So that's why I'm saying, and then making that synergy at the international level, I think it's even more difficult.
I mean, I think we wouldn't be able to, you know, eliminate extensions by that, at least maybe, you know, if there is common regional commonality, I would expect some to be.
Some.
Yeah, so it's not 100% solution.
Yeah,
it's more, you know, a step to make the process easier so that maybe the regulators are able to come up with some extensions, and then the process of extending it further is a less time consuming process because part of the work, you know, is done on a regional or.
Yes, but I think that it depends then, because there is also the process of endorsing at national level, and I think everybody's happy to endorse up to the common practice level, but then from that point on you talk about regulatory requirements. I think everybody, well, regulators will take their point and say, well, we are endorsing, this is for us, we want to be flexible, we want to change it when we want to change it based on our government legislative changes and things like
that.
Right. So
it may tie them together to an extent.
And I think it's difficult.
I think maybe it would help if we just distinguish between three or four layers, because Roxana actually really well described the governance legal layer. There is the accounting layer where we can see some comparisons or reuse of these best practices. There is the architectural layer, which is, it depends on these layers, and the legal and governance will be probably impossible or very hardly possible. The accounting is being converged on an ongoing basis, so we see that regulators are reusing each other's ideas of how to detail the disclosures. The architectural one is almost pretty much unified already because it is given by the IFRS and most of the regulators are following it, not really experimenting that much with different types of architectures. So maybe adding something on top of that, but not really destroying the base architecture. So I think it really depends on the layers.
Okay, well, we should probably get the feedback from the preparers group. Who's doing feedback? Okay.
Yeah, I'll give an update. So this group deliberated on the preparers extending the IFRS taxonomy. So while the group reflected on the fact that taxonomy has to update the accounting standards on a at least on an annual basis, there can be the changes in the architecture level the frequency of changes in the architectural level could be limited, maybe once in 3 years, and similarly common practice element updates could be seen in a different context as well. It is also mentioned that for some of the regulatory mandates, there is a concept of mandatory tagging, which could also impact the way preparers go about filing the financial statements. Because clearly, the opinion of the group that cost is a very important overriding concern from a preparer's point of view. However, this can be mitigated by the software and appropriate implementation guidance. Service providers play an important role in many of the preparers' activities. This very critical to provide implementation guidance to the updated taxonomy requirements. It was felt that timing of the update is a very important factor. The implementation guide, if it's available at the time of disclosure, it could help a lot and could help the preparer in data modeling and subsequent tagging. So it was emphasized that implementation guide is going to be very important. The IFRS taxonomy update current process as and when standards come out, the taxonomy is updated, which is providing some flexibility to the preparer. Having said that, overall providing flexibility and stability to the preparer was felt as a very important parameter. Please feel free to supplement or modify on what other members of the group on what I talked about.
I think there's one thing I want to add, and that's something that Roxana brought up, that in fact regulators may have different requirements as to types of updates they want to do on an annual basis. For instance, like they definitely want to do updates on an annual basis, maybe for standards. For architecture, definitely very important for stability. But for common practice updates, there may have to be some flexibility that you may not decide to update common practice every year, so that does not mean a must-have. So it's in fact the updates to be split in three type of categories: must-have standards, possibly common practice, and please do not change often architecture kind of thing. And that whenever we put our structure of our taxonomy together, that we should try to incorporate that flexibility. Roxana, if that expressed your view correctly.
Has anybody else got anything from that group? Or anybody on the rest of the room on what happens when you've got preparer extensions? Any other comments? Or overall comments if we don't have anything on that specific area?
There's a technical change that's been going on for about the last decade, almost two decades in the preparer's domain. And that's the move from using web processes underpinned by spreadsheets to an environment where you're using reporting tools underpinned by a database. And different parts of industries have either wholly made that switch versus not made that switch at all. When we look at reporting tools, users like to work with them in the paradigms of the ways which they previously worked as when they prepared documents. So in preparing for a new financial period, you roll forward last year's set of financial statements. You then analyze that set of financial statements, that template, for any changes in the gap. When you start applying that to a software tool, the same functionality applies. You roll forward within the software tool, within your reporting tool, that rolls forward your mapping from your back-end data source, and then you start thinking about the changes to the underpinning data source and your reporting templates from a gap perspective. That doesn't work, though, when you actually want to adopt a new taxonomy. At that point, you need a new version of the software tool with the fresh templates available from the vendor that support that taxonomy. And that gap in many jurisdictions around the world, that split between the two approaches, causes a problem with adoption of taxonomies.
But in theory, software could attempt, if there were better mechanisms for software to auto-update mappings, that would potentially mitigate that kind of problem.
No, at the back end, I think it's required that you need to update the mappings as well. So some of the softwares are going to do that.
Between new software versions more dynamic software.
It's happened in the US all the time. Every year the taxonomy gets updated, so you need, when you roll forward for the new 10K, you need to do that mapping aspect.
Okay.
built in the process.
Yeah, it's a part of the, you know, the annual updation process using the software.
But if you're in a territory that built that into the process, then it's always a pain, right?
So we've basically got until the fire alarm goes for the rest of this session, which is supposed to be approximately 2:30. So ideally we don't have to start anything new. Are there any more comments on this area or anything else people want to say on updates that we haven't covered or wasn't reported back? I mean, we've got notes for all the individual sessions, but is there anything else that people haven't mentioned?
I think there's also in our work group also thing from, okay, although encouraging on a yearly basis is really good, sometimes you have to be aware as well the update frequency for a regulator may depend on the filing mandate in place in that particular location. Like for instance, if your filing mandate is just primary financial statement and the new standards that have come out during that year are very unlikely to affect what is going to be presented on the primary financial statements, the cost may outweigh the benefits of updating. So there's like some kind of judgment call to make as well as to how relevant the particular updates for that particular year were to your taxonomy and to your filing mandate in place within that particular location. Yeah. I'm just looking at the notes.
Mm-hmm. Go on then.
Just a quick related topic. A question was asked by, it's not my original question, but I think it might be interesting for the group. There was a discussion, the debate whether it is possible, whether it is feasible, and whether the architecture of the taxonomy is ready to cater for subsets of information from the IFRS annual statements. So let's say that the regulator is willing to use only primary financial statements. At present, we are offering the taxonomy, which covers pretty much everything. And obviously, we can sub-select through the different link bases. However, there were more questions, for instance, coming from the business registers about to which extent is our architecture at present facilitating these smaller sets of information down to the even smallest used, for instance, by mobile applications. So there were some mobile application vendors who were asking, is it possible to just take out of the IFRS financial statement of a company very basic information, like for instance the location of a company or, you know, owners of a company. This information sits in a financial statement. It is described by the taxonomy. The vendors are not interested in the entire financial statement to be processed. They are just interested in a small subset because they, for instance, develop a mobile app which allows to figure out quickly where the headquarters of the company are or who is the owner of the particular company according to the financial statements. And this is maybe something for the future to consider, but sort of like slip it into our discussions slowly, that perhaps in the future we'll see less focus on the financial statement as a whole, but more components of these financial statements targeted for different audiences and targeted for different uses. And we may want to see how this extension capabilities and the extension architecture would cater for that in the future, especially for the mobile applications industry.
Michael, is that something we should do? Because although I understand that indeed there could be a need for that in the market, I think the needs can be so diverse that I think it would be very difficult for us to offer an IFRS taxonomy to ever cater for that. So I see personally the IFRS taxonomy more like a content salad bar and come and pick the content pieces that are important to your particular mandate. So by having modularization, maybe by having good logical data structures in place that may facilitate that more customized content creation. But I think I am not sure what we can do there to help. That's the problem I have.
One of these suggestions
I have heard was fairly interesting is this topic which we already touched this morning, which is using different technologies to express the contents of the IFRS taxonomy. The technology that is particularly of interest to the mobile application developers is called JSON. So smaller packages of information tailored for specific purpose. And if we just imagine for a second that the JSON would describe a subset of the IFRS taxonomy in this JSON package, it would be pre-prepared. For instance, there could be a JSON with, let's say, balance sheet ratios, only ratios applying to assets and liabilities and equity. And this would be something catered for specific type of analysts. There, then someone could be interested in, let's say, accounting policies related to inventories. And this would be another form of a JSON type of thing. This kind of architectural changes is something that may or may not be considered by the IFRS Foundation to be you know, applicable for them to develop or provide, but it may be something of interest to increase the adoption of the IFRS taxonomy as a taxonomy is a sort of like abstract representation of the IFRS statements.
Yeah, well, I know where you're going with that.
Just an idea, but it's probably something for discussion in the future, but it ties to the extensions, it ties to the usability of the taxonomy, it ties to the abstraction from a specific technology and catering for the needs of the users.
I can add APIs to that as well. From JSON, you can move to APIs as well.
Roxana?
I think it was
Chochi. Okay.
Thank you. I was listening to what Michael was saying, and it was really wondering for me, is this the tax XBR can be changed or can create a new type of the financial statement or not, because it's a little bit different the issues from the how financial statement is be and how XBR can help to the taking data from that. But at the same time, I wanted to know more about this discussion about digital reporting. Is this digital reporting is discussing such kind of issues? For example, if new technology come up and then maybe the people are not starting to using a paper-based financial statement, then at that time maybe such kind of issues come up. For example, people starting checking their financial statement on the mobile phone. So in this case I can understand it. This morning maybe the digital reporting, what kind of digital reporting topics is we are going to discuss. I think it's skipped this discussion. So I'd like to know more about how ISB is thinking about this discussion, digital reporting.
I'm not sure in the case of mobile technology that we can necessarily answer that right now.
I don't think it'll be as specific as you know, looking at stuff on a mobile phone, but it's in the sense that we are bound by what is the purpose of what we do, and it is to produce general purpose financial statements. And so that is what we are trying to produce. Now, a selection of items coming from that is sort of beyond what our sort of state of purpose is. Now, a decision to either try and provide information in that format is something I think would be quite a strategic decision for the board to do. But I do think we need to consider, and it maybe stems from this discussion, is that more and more as there's different types of reports occurring, different ways to get information, more and more our financial statements are being a base for other forms of reporting. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, something we need to consider, to realise that not always are our financial statements ready as a total, you know, in a